Anyway, good morning to everyone. It's a beautiful morning here in New Bridgetown. Clear blue sky. Weather is nice and warm. In fact, even last evening it was warm, and yesterday in the afternoon it got very hot. And I'm working. Correlating the transcendental Dham along with what we see here in New Rajadhan, and trying to establish certain places of pastimes, or at least places that correspond to places of pastimes like Nandagram, the Goshala, and that's a very wonderful thing. It's really dependent upon the information I receive from devotees, personal meditations, or just due to the topography, the natural layout of Krishna Valley, assigning certain places as impetus for devotees' remembrance of Krishna. And our morning program here is an abbreviated one because we're experimenting with a new morning program, which is really the same up until daily greeting. Then we have a brief kirtan up till 7:25, and then short class until 8 o'clock, which means that devotees are engaged in service by 9 o'clock. Agriculture, cow protection, can't wait till later, and even then some devotees have to start earlier because that's just the way things grow. One comment, I'd mentioned that devotees can get in touch with me via telephone or by correspondence. Telephone is really for extremely, extremely important things, which generally they are not, and more for GBC members and senior leaders who I have managerial responsibilities with. Otherwise, devotees are going to have to communicate to me through correspondence, and even if they think something's important, better they correspond to someone else here in Hungary via email saying that they have something important to talk to me about, because one thing for sure is I'm not going to be sitting and answering my telephone all day long either. My regular schedule is now that from about 2 to 4:30 I'm working on writing, chant a little, and then I write, and then I continue on after Mangalartik to deity greeting, so I get in my 4 hours of writing like that, and then I come back, I do this podcast, and try to do puja by 9:30, and then I chant japa until 11 o'clock. Maybe take a little 10-minute nap, and then from 11 to 1, I do correspondence, and I do my international and national GBC service. And then just prasadam, and take rest, and shower, and then I do the local management, in this case New Rajadam, from around 4 till 6:37, and then go to the evening program till around 8 o'clock, and then try and take rest early. So when I'm answering correspondence, that happens then, and when I'm making telephone calls, that will be my time between 12 and 1. And that's it. Overall, my impetus for getting off of email is not to shift the same burden onto something else, but rather I'd like to optimize my management and services, and I need to spend time on both my own spiritual practices as well as writing. So please try to be sensitive to that. Here's a question from David Haslam. And he says he's working in the medical profession. This is a very important question. I'm aware that many injections use eggs or derivative egg to carry the antibiotic. I've also noted that many devotees use alternative medicines, some of which use animal products. When I asked, including initiated devotees, if they have checked the ingredients for animal products, I have been informed that it does not matter what is in it so long as it gets them better, as health and Krishna consciousness is more important than as much as if you have bad health, you cannot do devotional service. I feel that this is a compromise and is not truly following the regulative principles and in a way are being cheated. Can regulative principles be disregarded on health grounds? And for a one-word answer, the answer can be yes. Of course, we're talking about regulative principles, which means that someone is consuming in one way or another, directly or indirectly, some non-vegetarian product. And then let me go back again and qualify that yes, that there are many people who are very health conscious, and at the same time they're conscious that they don't want to use just any type of medicine, and they're very conscious that their medicines are not a product of some kind of violent experimentation, that they don't have any animal products in it. So, for instance, veggie caps are just a standard thing that you can get in most health food shops. Devotees should try to go out of their way to get vegetarian alternatives for medication as well as things that carry the medication, like the capsules. When it really boils down to the fact that there is nothing else, and it's really an issue of health. In other words, it's not just so-called supplements, which are a controversial subject even amongst in the medical profession. Many medical practitioners have zero faith in supplements as just being something that supplements someone's pockets, the people who manufacture it, but has no real value aside from that. I'm not making a comment one way or another. I'm just saying that these things are available in a relatively pure alternative. But if it's really a matter of health, that the devotee's life or death or something that's really going to disadvantage someone in terms of service, then a human life, devotee life, devotional service has priority if nothing else is available in this day and age. And for instance, example of that is when Srila Prabhupada was told that, you know, sugar, which is something that we use and offer to the deities, is filtered through bones, animal bones. And Srila Prabhupada said, what can you do? And Srila Prabhupada used this what can you do phrase for other things as well. In other words, if you can't do anything, and we are living in Kali Yuga, then it's not really a compromise of the regulative principles, but rather it's the way things are. And of course, not only is it a matter of just medication, but when we're breathing, when we're drinking, we're eating, breathing many living entities, and they're dying as a consequence of these acts of survival that we do. But it's inevitable. What can you do? Should we walk around like the Jains, or strict Jains, and with a cloth over our mouths? And Rupa Goswami didn't introduce it. But rather, we should live our lives in such a way that they're offerings to Krishna, and Krishna will understand these conditions of Kali Yuga and forgive us. But we should not be slack, and we should see if there are more positive alternatives. Here's another one from Bhakta Vikesh in the UK. Kasturi is a rare deer musk, very unusual and beautiful fragrance. However, many times these animals are slaughtered to simply get the musk from the abdominal glands. Since Krishna wears a tilak blend with musk and sandalwood, I imagine that the fragrance is not from the secretion glands of animals, but perhaps a flower. Otherwise, are there other alternative musky perfumes which he used, i.e. from resins and woods? Certainly, the reference to deer musk is made in Shastra, in that those deer, musk deer, are referred to as being intoxicated by their own scent. Whether the musk, which is certainly an ingredient in Krishna's worship or service, comes from an alternate source, from musk deer, I've not heard, so I can't say. Although considering the nature of, considering the expense of real musk, I wouldn't purchase it or acquire it, but rather I would get other fragrances which come from plants and so on. And that's what the musk is that devotees purchase and offer to deities. If it's not just a complete chemical, then it's some kind of alternate plant fragrance. Having said that, of course, the yak tail is another animal product which comes with tail and all, is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, and is part of the upachar or offering of items to the Lord. Obviously, when such violence or apparently such violence takes place on behalf of Krishna, then there's no reaction, and it's considered to be beneficial for all concerned, just like the Battle of Kurukshetra. And the last part of this question is, a guru sounds similar to agarwood or Arabian oud. Is this the same fragrance that pleases Srimati Radharani? Yes, it is. Bhaktin Samusi Yudit in Hungary. Can a Mataji reach in young age the liberated platform? Can she get the mercy to be able to see Krishna? The answer to this is that anyone can achieve any state of devotional service. However, generally, whether they're male or female, however, generally, it's understood the devotees will be advancing in systematic steps, progressive steps, which takes time, and it will take quite a bit of time. However, that is not a source of discouragement for Vaishnavas, because the original motivation for devotees engaging in devotional service is neither liberation nor to see Krishna, but rather to serve. And because they're able to serve in the conditioned state, that already gives them the benefit which they naturally get in the liberated state, namely service to Krishna. Of course, the consciousness is different, but the activity is the same, and by cultivating the right type of consciousness, then one comes to the liberated platform through the process of devotional service. So, while yes, any Mataji, any Bhakta, can become self-realized at a young age, generally considering the karmic baggage that devotees bring with them in Kali Yuga, the process is that they practice Krishna consciousness through the Grihastha ashram, and when they become older, purified, their material desires satiated, Naturally, through advanced devotional service, they become liberated, and certainly they can see Krishna, but then you can see Krishna anyway. All you have to do is look at a picture of him. We have so many pictures of Krishna, but to speak of seeing his deity form. So if you come here in New Brajadam, Udit, then you'll see Krishna. Hare Krishna.